brothers, and I wish to welcome you to the house of the Lord this evening and hope that you have come with a prayer in your heart for this services and to uphold our brother who is to bring the message. I want to thank the ladies for their music leading up to this service. And I have to say I'm especially happy to have my granddaughter playing the harp. I had to think twice about whether to ask her because she'd already played at churches the last two Sundays, and I knew she was playing again next Sunday. But she readily agreed. Now, the only problem was I asked her, and I knew she was going to have to be driven by her mom and dad. So I wanted her on my side to convince them. But I do thank her for the work that she has put in to learn. Not only play the piano beautifully, but learning the harp this last few years. For a scripture reading for this evening, I had studied on it for quite a while. And then the Lord woke me up and I actually looked at the priesthood schedule at what scriptures Joe had picked out for today. And I thought the minute I saw Isaiah 11, okay, I know that one. I actually used that about 3 or 4 weeks ago in another congregation when I preached. But I hadn't bothered looking at the schedule at the hotel a few days ago, trying to decide. And then when I read it, I struggled. There's only, 16 verses, but I didn't want to read them all. And I couldn't decide which ones, and I finally decided on the first ones, first five. And it starts off, the 11th chapter. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove the equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with a rod in his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. In verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And a few years ago when I was reading this, for some reason that verse hit me, and I had to look at it. And I've learned in the last several years as I got older, my definition of words sometimes isn't always the best. And when I looked at that, you know, it mentions girdle twice. And I immediately thought of the garment that ladies wear. And then I thought, well, I'm curious. And I looked it up in the Webster's Collegiate Dictionary from over a half a century ago to see what it said. And the very first definition of girdle was a belt or a cloth about the waist or loins. Well, that fits the first part of that. But the second definition says anything that encompasses or circles the body, basically. And the girdle, the way I was thinking of it, wasn't till the third definition. Well, then I started really looking at that verse. I said, okay, I think the first definition fits the first part of that. But when I read the second part, I thought, well, that just doesn't seem right. But the second definition says, and the faithfulness, the girdle of his reins. Well, faithfulness is supposed to encompass our whole body, isn't it? But then I got to wondering, what's range mean? And the definition of range says, got it right down here, make sure I read it correct. The seat of the emotions and affections. Well, what is the seat in the, our emotions and affections come from? But the heart. So faithfulness is to encompass those. Well, then I got curious because that range is spelled R-E-I-N-S. And it's only found three other places in the scriptures. Twice in the Bible and twice in the Book of Mormon. And in 2 Nephi, the 9th chapter, the 120th verse, and 2 Nephi, the 12th chapter, the 91st verse, it's worded exactly the same as it says here. Word for word. And the other one that's in the Bible is over in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter and the 10th verse. And it says, "And I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doings." So we need to watch what we take into our hearts and prepare to be that servant that our Lord wants us to be. Shall we turn in our hymnals to hymn number 4, and we'll stand for the singing of this, after which Brother Matt will offer the invocation.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight giving thanks for the blessings you bestowed upon us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather here this evening. And we ask, Lord, that you bring your Spirit down upon us and open our hearts and strengthen our frail bodies and open our minds to hear the message that you have imprinted on Joe's heart and loose his tongue for the message that he was about to bring. And Lord, we are so grateful that we can gather here, that we can be together as a church family. And we just ask these things, Lord, in Jesus Christ's most heavenly name. Amen.
Good evening. Thank you all for being here. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The scriptures I have prepared for tonight, first one is from Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am. And from Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil unto you, serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And from Exodus 14:13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians who ye have seen, today ye have shall see them go again no more forever. Thank you. Hosanna. I know your parents are proud of you. I know your grandparents are really proud of you. But your Father in heaven, really proud of you. Thank you for sharing your gifts and your talents with us. On this day, I'm extremely grateful for all of you being here today, tonight, on this sacrament Sunday. I know we normally don't have an evening service on the sacrament. And so when Joe had put me on the list, my eyes almost didn't believe what I was seeing, because it was November 7th. And it's a sacrament. And it's my wedding anniversary. Me and Beth have been married for 23 years. And everyone that's married and for all the youth, your spouse is worth waiting for. We're all praying for them. And God's got a plan. About a week before I saw my name on the schedule, I told Beth, I go, I know what my next sermon is going to be about. Not knowing that I would have this humbling, nerve-wracking, great opportunity to stand in his stead in front of you all. My sermon is about, let me tell you about my Jesus. And I want to tell you about what my Jesus has done for me. And I hope and I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth brings him honor and glory. Because he deserves it. November 7th. So the number 7 has always been my number. It was given to me in football. I played quarterback. And, you know, as a kid, you don't think much about that. But the older I've gotten, you get that appreciation. The 7 is God's number. And I have always kind of toted that. You know, it's... The number 7 in Hebrew means completeness or wholeness. Reflect on the number 7. There's 7 days of the week. On the 7th day, he said rest because everything was good. And maybe that's where that completeness and wholeness comes in. I know it talks about being 7 years of trials and tribulations. The number 7 is mentioned over 730 times in our scriptures. In Revelations, it's mentioned over 50 times. And we are in the latter days. So I thought, well, that's pretty neat. His number's coming up. And a lot of what's to come. Tonight I wanted to share what he has done and what he's done for all of us. So let me tell you about my Jesus. Jesus has loved me all the days of my life. I think he loved me before I even knew what love was. He's protected me. He's guided me. He's kept me out of harm's way. And he's brought me closer to my Heavenly Father. When I think about Jesus, I think of all the names in the scriptures that describe Jesus Christ, which is the name above all names. But just to name a few, Emmanuel, Wonderful, Counselor, Righteous One, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lamb of God, the Bread of Life, the Light of the World, Redeemer, Savior, the Truth, the True Vine, and the Way. The seven biggest blessings of my life. The first one are those scriptures that I read before. Those three scriptures were given to our family when we were gathered around an administration over Beth. My sweet, dear mother-in-law, Marty, had written those down and had on a post-it note and sticking above her kitchen window. That post-it note is still there today. Second thing is my family. Jesus has given me this family that I got three brothers. I married into a family that I can't thank Jesus enough for. We've been blessed way more than I deserve. They're always there when I need them. They're there when I don't even know I needed them. They're there. They have always stayed close to Jesus. And we always can talk about Jesus. Third thing he gave me was he gave me friends. I have very, very dear friends. Probably my best friend in the world since we were 4 or 5 years old. And I think I've shared this testimony before, but I'll probably wear a microphone out telling you about this. We had grown up going to church, and it was our junior year in high school. We had a revival at our church that I was attending, and the pastor scared him away. And he went away from my Jesus. It wasn't until about 2 years ago, he called me on the phone, and he said, Joe, I want to thank you for your faith. He goes, you've never had to talk the talk. I've noticed your walk. I thanked him, and the next words out of his mouth were, I see the light of Jesus. That night I fell to my knees and prayed to him. And thank God that he'd give me back my friend Mark. So when I hear that beautiful song that you played earlier, my friend was lost. Now he's found. I heard this statement this week as I was preparing, that if you take one step toward Jesus, he will run at you. Number four, my church family. The love that you guys have shared with us, I don't have words for. It's just a space on my paper. And in that church family, I have my gospel, or as Cousin Tina calls it, my Jesus journey. I went to Buckner Restoration because I met a girl. And I'd gone here 10 years before I was baptized into the church. I was baptized by Lee Botiford. And the Lord had moved me to ask him. It was another 10 years. And I'd gotten my calling to the priesthood. And when the gentleman called me on the phone and said, we're going to come over, I figured they were going to minister to Beth. I just knew it was something to do with my wife. And they came in and they said, the Lord's told us, you've got a calling. You don't have to accept it right now. Think about it. Pray about it. Was their advice. Very humbling. And I did. I thought about it for 6 months. You can tell I don't jump into anything lightly. To take on the responsibility and the honor and the glory that comes from serving the Lord. I said yes. And I remember, like it was yesterday, Eric Baker was the pastor. And I called Eric and I said, yes, I'll serve the Lord. And Eric said, and I kind of do my lips because Eric does that. He goes, it's going to be about 3 or 4 months because I got the schedule and I got to get you in. And I just smiled and I said, hey, Eric, I said yes. I said, so I get hit by a truck tomorrow. I said yes to the Lord. And he'd give me his peace. Patience is something that he's definitely working with me on. Number five would be my job or my career. I can't tell you how many times I've got six. I think I'm on my seventh job that I can think of that's going extremely well. But at least six different times that I thought I had this job. I mean, I wanted the job. It's a great job. Company I got to be with, man. I'm going to do phenomenal things with. And I'm talking going, you know, third, fourth interviews with these people. And one position, I actually bought a suit that was their company color suit because I was going to Chicago and I was getting that job. Jesus has always protected and he always provides. In those, all six of those jobs, I did not get the job. And I was upset. I just knew I was getting those jobs. And the Lord gave me his peace eventually when I would actually listen to him. And his understanding. And one instance, the Chicago one, company was out of business in 2 months. What would we have done? Number seven, he's always provided what I need when I need it. I was building a sidewalk around the back of our house. Guess it's been 2 years ago now. I just did the sidewalk, but... I'd made a, you know, the back of our house, go around the pool so nobody can twist an ankle in the grass. I'd framed it in, dug it out, done the gravel, done the wire mesh thing that I need these bolt cutters for. Well, I'd made this sidewalk 5 foot wide, so it's good wide. You know, I figured later on if somebody had a wheelchair or something that could come down the sidewalk. Not until you get to thinking about it, that 5 foot's a very, very wide sidewalk. So a year later, we had to save up for the concrete. So a year later, I decided to make it 3'6" wide. Could not find my wire cutters or bolt cutters. I took my whole garage apart. I think we've all been there. I took my whole garage apart. I could not find the bolt cutters. I prayed about it. Again, back to God using the patience on me. I prayed about it. It wasn't until I actually needed them. I looked in my garage. I looked by my toolbox that I'd looked at like multiple times. It was laying right there on top. Nobody had borrowed it. Nobody had used it. It was right when God wanted me to have that tool to finish the job. It's almost like he out loud said, now's the time to build your stuff. Before it wasn't okay. What Jesus has done for us, what he's done for the world, Jesus has taught us to follow God's commandments through obedience. Jesus has taught us how to pray. And in the Lord's Prayer, which is in Matthew 6, 19 through 15, and I want to read that to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And suffer us not to be led into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We had I remember a service when Lee Botiford was up preaching. And every one of you have had a time up here with a sermon that I remember. Bits and pieces that have stuck with me. And Lee said, if you say the name Jesus without saying Christ, you're doing it a disservice. Because he is Jesus Christ. Jesus taught us to give God the glory. And that goes back to in the Lord's Prayer where it says, thy will be done. Jesus taught us how to pray over all things, big and small. This past summer, we took on a fort, had a little clubhouse over at EJ's. And my brother-in-law Chad said, burn it. It's not any good. It's got algae all over it. It was falling apart, and the ants had kind of gotten to it and started to rot out. And me and Beth looked at that thing, and we said, you know, we could take that home, clean it up. And so we power washed it. We bought some new boards. We ended up bolting this thing to this big deer stand playhouse thing. It's been quite the chore. But what we did do was we prayed to the Heavenly Father in Jesus' name to bless us before we worked on that. We call it the Cousins Forts, what the name that Reagan's given it. Fort Cousins, I'm sorry. So all her cousins can come over and play with her in that fort. Well, this thing has got bolts. I mean, it's almost like the Ark. It's so solid. You can't move the thing. But we were blessed because we prayed before we went to work. And we didn't get hurt. And I'm notorious for getting hurt. Jesus taught us that God performs miracles. My wife is my living miracle. My daughter Reagan is my living miracle. So if anybody wants to have testimony to, does God still perform miracles? He does. But when he does, we have to give him the thanks, the credit, the glory. Jesus taught us to love all people, even our enemies. Jesus taught us patience. One of the biggest examples in the scriptures that I could think of is Lazarus. Lazarus, when Jesus was half a day away from him, and he waited 4 days. And when he showed up, everybody's like, no, it's been 4 days. You don't even want to smell it. And all he had to do is say, rise. And the patience is kind of like waiting a couple years to find your tool. And then it's right there before you. I tell you these 7 different things on 2 occasions, and they all intermix. The scriptures, my family, my friends, my church family, the gospel, providing when I need it. The Lord has he's continued to provide us with even monetary things to help pay some of the medical bills that we've incurred through our trial, and it's come from multiple sources to the point there's just no way. You get a letter in the mail and you go, what? I mean, even one of my brothers has sent us money. And I just, which is another act of Jesus' love that has gotten my brother that hadn't been that close. And he sent that, and that just gave us that much more reason to talk and to share about Jesus and what he's done in both of our lives. I'd like to close I would like to close by reading a little history I found about Jewish marriages and how it mirrors the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Jewish tradition for marriages in the first century consisted of a young man and his father with a young woman and her father to negotiate a bride price, the configurative cost of replacing a daughter. Having 3 daughters of my own, I can't imagine the expense that you would have to fork up to marry my daughter. After negotiations, it was custom for the young man's father to pour a cup of wine and hand it to his son. The son would then turn to the young woman, lift up the cup, and hold it out to her, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which I offer to you." In other words, it was his way of saying, "I love you and I give you my life. Will you marry me?" The young woman could take the cup and then give it back. That would be saying no. Or without saying a word, she could drink from the cup. By drinking from the cup, she was saying, "I accept your offer, and I will marry you and give you my life." At the Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples were celebrating Passover, something they had celebrated all their lives. And in chapter 26, 22 through 26, it reads, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and broke it and blessed it and gave to his disciples and said, take, eat this in remembrance of my body, which I give a ransom for you. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is in remembrance of my blood, of the New Testament, which is shed for as many as shall believe in my name, for the remission of their sins. And I give unto you the commandment that ye shall observe to do the things which ye have sent me to do, and bear record of me even unto the end. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit, of this vine, until the day when I shall come and drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus offers us this cup to each and every one of us. Jesus gave his life for us, taking the cup in the sacrament service in a solemn moment where we tell our Heavenly Father, yes, I accept your offer, and I will give you my life. And in John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. May we always remember our covenant and what Jesus has done for us, and let us never, ever forget.
For our closing hymn, we'll turn to hymn 327. And after the singing of this hymn, Brother Wilson Jones will offer our benediction.
Father in heaven, we thank you for thy many blessings. We thank you for the words we've heard this night. We thank you for the gift that you've given us. And we ask that we would take that gift and use it in our life and make our life a reflection, that others might see you in it, that they would take those words and put them in their lives, that their lives would then reflect yours. We would ask for thy watch, care, and thy protection as we leave this night. We thank you for the gift of thy blessing this day. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, amen.